This study will focus on the behavioral ecology of certain retrovirids and their attractiveness to certain environmental cues. Retrovirids are mostly tropical tropical family of true bugs. As you can see here, Triatoma dimidiata is mostly a Central American bug with ranges north to central Mexico and all the way down to Peru, while Rhodnius pollicis is mostly in the northern parts of South America. They have ranges that overlap, and they are hematophagous in that they use blood for nutrition, usually from either small mammals or from humans. They are a vector of Trypanosoma cruzii, which causes Chagas disease, and these bugs have been known to be an issue where they bite people and affecting them and giving them Chagas disease. And this is usually in more poor rural areas in Central and South America, where these bugs live in the thatched roofs of certain huts and climb down during the night and bite their human victims. They have an extensive range, and it has been more recent evidence is showing that the expansion of these bugs is moving northward, while we have more accounts of Chagas disease and Trypanosoma cruzii in certain mammals more northward, even up to central parts of United States. So the attraction of these retrovirids has been shown to be mostly drawn by environmental cues such as carbon dioxide, heat, and certain chemicals, most of which are products of normal mammal metabolism. It has also been shown that combinations of these cues have been theorized to be the most attractive to these bugs when used together. These cues are usually tested by authors in short-range devices, such as an olfactometer, a servosphere in a Swiss university, and small arenas, video tracking, and the like. They are rarely tested in larger arenas. There's only one or two certain studies that test the attraction of these bugs in larger arenas, and this is very important when trying to assess the attraction of these bugs in certain rural habitats in poor regions, just like they occur in their natural environment. So what we wanted to do was assess this short to long distance disparity, and we wanted to look at three specific objectives here. Is there a difference between the long and short distance attraction in these bugs to certain environmental cues? Secondly, is there differences between the bugs themselves species-wise in their attraction to environmental cues? And also, is there a difference in their lifestyles? So to determine these objectives, we use three different testing regimens, two short range and one long range testing method. An olfactometer, which is shown in the bottom right picture here, with four ports where a treatment was randomly placed in one. A computer assisted video tracking arena, which is about the same size, it is not shown, it is a small arena. And in the top right here, a long distance artificial chamber, which was about 1.25 meters by a meter. You can see here in the corners of the arena were small refuges, and these use the natural tendencies of the bugs to climb and to give them a refuge to stay, as these bugs were placed in the chamber for about a week at a time. So therefore, these bugs had a place to stay until the attraction mechanisms were placed in a trap in the center of the artificial chamber, and the bugs were allowed to climb down at their will. Three different bug types were tested, two species, T. dimidiata and Rhodnius pollicis, and two different life stages, fifth instars and adults. CO2, heat, and chemicals were tested in different ranges. Heat ranged from 23 to 100 degrees Celsius, and seven different types of chemical mixtures were used, including lactic acid, octanol, and other types of chemicals that have been shown previously to have some sort of attractant effect for these bugs. In the video tracking and olfactometer tests, there are three 15-minute trials of five randomly selected bugs for each type of treatment combination used. In the artificial chamber tests, we recorded during the first 3 hours of the SCOTO phase, that is the first 3 hours after nightfall, and we recorded the bug's position every 15 minutes. In the olfactometer, we saw that when we looked at, on the right here, when we combine heat, chemical, and CO2, and to the far right, heat and chemical, we see that these were the most attractive to the red aphids. And we see that chemical was the least attractive, statistically so, than all the other types of treatments used. We also saw that these last two here, heat, chemical, CO2, and heat, chemical, were more statistically more attractive than the combination of chemical and CO2 in the olfactometer. Looking at it, another aspect of the olfactometer studies, we see that there is a difference in the attraction between the bug types. So on the left here, when looking at the combination of all three environmental cues, we see that the Arpelixis adult males were less attractive than the Triatoma dimidiata nymphs. We see this pattern in CO2 in chemical studies and also heat in chemical studies, whereby the adult males in the middle three bars there, the adult males of Arpelixis were less attractive than the nymphs of both species. And also on the right, we see the adult males were less attractive than the nymphs, Arpelixis nymphs. When examining video tracking, the nature of the arena itself did not allow us to use many different types of treatments, so we could not use CO2 in these studies. However, when looking at chemical and heat, we saw that there is an effect whereby both environmental cues together were more attractive than chemical alone, and this was also statistically significant. Now, in the artificial chamber, there are some differences when we look at the long-distance studies compared to the short-distance studies to which I was just referring. CO2, heat, and chemical combined together were more attractive than the four-starred treatments of environmental cues here. And interestingly, there is a synergistic effect found as well, whereby the combination of CO2, heat, and chemical, when combined together in one lure, were more attractive than the combined results of CO2 alone, heat alone, and chemical alone. So we see that in short and long distance tests, there were low attraction to chemical lures, and we also saw another aspect was that the adult males of Arpelixis were less attracted to many lure combinations than other species. We are hypothesizing that this is mostly because the adult males were more likely focused on finding a mate than finding a food source. The nymphs were trying to molt to their final adult stage and therefore are still attracted to the environmental cues more than these adults were. CO2 was shown to be most attractive in the long distance studies, and specifically so, CO2 was shown to draw the bugs down from the refuges to the floor and was able to draw the bugs to the trap. However, it was also found that these bugs needed a secondary cue to actually fall into the trap and take that final step, as it were. When we combined CO2 with heat, we had a much higher capture rate than when we just had CO2. When we just had CO2, the bugs would climb down the refuges, come toward the trap, almost go that last step, and then hesitate, and then move back again. So it seemed that they were looking for an extra kind of cue to pull them in. And finally, the synergistic attraction we saw in the long-distance studies is backed up by several other authors who have found the same effect in their short-distance studies. The trap that we used is shown on the right here. However, the trap to be placed in an environment whereby this may be effective in reducing the effect of these bugs on the human population should include a CO2 creating chemical combination, as we use CO2 coming from a large tank, and this is of course quite impractical in poor regions of the world where this disease is an issue. Now, heat source and the chemical lure are less problems, but some kind of chemical reaction to create CO2 is probably the most efficient way to create CO2 in this situation. Future studies should include the field testing of this trap, competition with a human attractant if these are to be placed in homes, and testing with certain mammals. With that, I'd like to thank my collaborators and NIH grant, and I would be glad to take any questions you may have. Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am. That's a good question. The question was, what are the source of the insects and how long they were in colony? These insects were kept by the CDC, and they were kept in a colony for several years, and is a breeding population. And they would be fed about 2 weeks prior to us receiving them, and they were starved throughout the time we had the bugs. So they were never fed after that. They also never molted while we had the bugs, too. Yes, sir? Yes, the question was asking of the volume or the velocity of the CO2 in the chambers. It was 100 milliliters per minute.
Did you aerate it? It seems like you have almost volume displaced. If you only have almost cubic meter in there,
He asked if we have too much CO2. I'm assuming you're referring to the large artificial chamber. This is where we had too much CO2. We had the effect was not there anymore. And we did see that in the later hours of the SCOTO phase, up to the 2.5 and the 3 hour point, where we did seem to have a lack of attraction after that point.